Fierce Femme Media.
Oh, that's funny.
What, the Bi-Fi?
Country-ass Wi-Fi.
Country-ass Wi-Fi. Satellite signals just attached to our pigs. You're like, hey!
Get closer! Come here!
Come here! Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wine Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And we're missing Jean and Aaron. Jean swears she's coming back every week, and then she changes her mind. So hopefully she comes back next week. And Aaron had to go help with some family stuff, so she was actually leaving town tonight. So you just are with the three of us.
The OG.
OG.
OGs. Can I just tell you guys? I was at Jackie's last night, and Lincoln kept, like, he was wearing a Woody hat, and he kept throwing it on the ground and saying, OGs. And then he put his hand on his hip. Man, where is this? Like, what is happening when no one's here? Like, you and Lex just sassy all the time?
I asked Lex today, I was like, where is he getting that from? Like, the, oh, geez. And he goes, oh, gosh. I'm like, who? First of all, no one in our house has that, like, clean of a mouth. So I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, that's good.
The only thing I can think of is daycare. Like, he's, like, really good friends with these two little girls in there. So I think it's probably their little sayings that are rubbing off on him.
Yeah, that's cute. That's
it was the hand on the hip for me.
The hand on the hip is very, like, funny.
He looked us dead in the eyes and put his hand on his hip after he threw his hat on the ground.
Oh, jeez. Right. I'm like, you threw your own hat. You can't. It's false outrage, sir. Pick it up. Yeah. No one did that to you.
80.
Maybe it's a funny thing.
He's got a lot of attitude, that one. I just tried trading him with Stacey. I offered to take two teenagers for a week if she'd take the toddler for a night, and she still said no.
I agreed till you started screaming in the background. I was like, you know, I like where I'm at right now.
Your pitch didn't go so good with the high pitched like shrills in the background. It wasn't super good advertising.
Kids aren't known for their impeccable timing, that's for sure.
That's true.
I am drinking. I'm still on my buy one, get one for 5 cent BevMo sale. So I'm drinking Samuel Charles Cab from the North Coast. Cab. It's very good. Very tasty.
Nice.
It doesn't even have that, like, weird bitter aftertaste that a lot of cabs have when you first open them. It's delightful.
Delightful. I am drinking my good friend Mel, who listens to this podcast, so shout out to Mel, got me the 19 Crimes Dark Red. That's the guy's name.
Ooh, I've been wanting to try that one.
James Wilson is the guy on the front, and it's really good. It tastes like a...
We need to try the Snoop Dogg one.
I know. Once I can find it, it's like, every time I go to Target, it's not there.
They have it at my Safeway, and I just have it... Every time I pass, I was like, oh, I'll get it next time, because I still have all that wine from the sale, so I'm just like, whatever. But next time I see it, the Cali Red with Snoop Dogg, like, on the front, I'm 100% amazing. Getting it.
That's what I say every time I go to Target. I've been to Target twice in like 6 months. But I just looked for it when I was there.
That's funny. All right. I got so much shit from you guys for not drinking wine since we're kicking it old school, I'm drinking my favorite. Oh my God. What am I drinking? Thank you. My Sophia Rosé.
I can't even see it. I knew that's what it was.
Oh, God. I know. It's just, and it's in a glass that I got for my birthday last year that says, of course I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice. queen of not taking my own advice. And just down this.
So we finally peer pressured you into drinking wine, and we haven't been able to get Aaron to do it in a year.
I know. I guess Aaron's tougher than I am.
You're more susceptible to peer pressure than Aaron.
Apparently.
I don't think that's a thing. No, I I don't think so. Yeah.
You know, now that you, when you phrase it like that.
Just kidding, Aaron. We love you. So today, because it's just the three of us, I thought everyone could use a break from politics. I know, Stacey. Yeah. Well, listen, you guys, it's just been such a shitty few weeks with like all of the nonsense going on. And I don't think there's going to be any let up until at least election day's over. So, actually two of these are from a few weeks ago. So, I pulled out some listener questions that had absolutely nothing to do with politics. So, the first one, she says, I feel like a terrible mom and wife. This pandemic has made me miserable. I love my children and my husband, but I can't take this 24/7 thing much longer. I feel like I need space, but I can't tell them that because it will hurt their feelings. I don't know what to do, and I don't know who to talk to because I don't want my friends and family to think less of me. Thanks for everything you ladies do. I appreciate that you deconstruct politics in a way I can fully understand it. I feel like I'm listening to my girlfriend's chat when I could actually hang out with them. Help.
Oof. I thought about this one for so long. This one and the other one you said, because it's so hard with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I feel like we can't just be like, oh, just go walk around Target for an hour. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't do that. And it sounds like she has young kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just guessing off the fact that she's kind of like tired.
Well, it sounds like they're attached to her a lot. So yeah, I would assume right. They're young kids.
I don't remember what people call it, but when you're touched out, when you have toddlers and they touch you all day, every day, and you're like, I just don't want to be touched anymore. Like, that's so stressful to me. But anyway, so I thought about it and I'm like, the only thing I could say is you have to be honest with your husband and say you need some me time. And even if that's just getting out and walking around the block very slowly, mm-hmm. you know, or if
like
you
real can, slow. Like
real slow.
Like grab a bottle of wine and go sit at the park.
Or if you can, put your mask on and go walk around Target. Get a coffee and spend an hour walking up and down every aisle. Get outside, go for a hike. That's what I've been doing lately. Like anything you can do. And I feel like if he's an understanding person, he's going to realize that you need me time. Everybody needs me time and there's no guilt in that.
I completely agree. And I also wanted to add, give yourself a break. It sounds like you're beating up on yourself an awful lot for feeling like this. And I don't think you're feeling anything that most people aren't feeling. Like, it's a ton of pressure to be locked inside with people. It doesn't matter how much you love them or how much you care about them. That is a shitload of togetherness all of the time, especially if, I don't know how old your kids are, if you're dealing with online schooling and if you're working from home, if your husband's working from home, like that is so much stress. So one, don't apologize for feeling this way because everyone needs their own time sometimes. And two, no, if you have people in your life that are going to think less of you than this, you need to reevaluate who's in your life because that's bonkers. The other thing you can do if you really are uncomfortable going out, it sounds like you do have some girlfriends that you hang out with, call and have a Zoom chat and drink wine with them online. Hang out with them and spend time with them virtually after your kids go to bed, or, you know, tell your husband you need an hour or 45 minutes or whatever, or I'll pick a movie and watch it together, or watch it and then get on and talk about it or do something. But you have to carve out time for yourself. You just absolutely have to. So stop beating yourself up.
Yeah. Yeah. Go easier on yourself. I think that it's hard to put yourself up to what you think other people's expectations are of you. And that's a whole kind of mind fucking of itself. So my number one thing, I don't have kids, but my number one thing that's helped me through all of this is talking to a therapist, using some apps like Calm and,
I thought you were going to say my wife. I was like,
oh, and Lexus and Headspace. But I think that's the key is like, you just have to find some moments. And if you're not comfortable leaving the house, like, go in your closet, go in your bathroom, go take a bath, do some self-care, do a face mask, do a hair mask, do something that's just for you. Join a book club. Like Jackie said, watch a movie and then talk about it with your friends, have kind of a standing night. Getting out and walking is a great idea. If it's ungodly hot like it is here, get in your car and go to Starbucks and then just put on music you love and drive around. Like just have some you time with some music. read a book. And like you said, go out to the park, even if you don't want to, like, just anything that you can do that's for yourself. And as shitty as this is, I think you have to be open with your husband and say, like you said, like, I need a break. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody would judge you. And if your friends are, then agreed. Like, maybe they just don't understand where it is you're coming from. Maybe try and find some people that you can use as a sounding board who are going through a similar situation as you. You know, if you have young kids, try and find someone who also has young kids and is frankly sick of them right now, because I think that's a pretty popular opinion right now. So it's just everybody.
I can't imagine having a handful of small children.
A gaggle, if you will.
Yeah, a gaggle. Two or more, really. Like,
during a pandemic.
No, I was with the girls for 11 weeks straight. 24/7, we were together for 11 weeks. And to even imagine doing that when they were little blows my mind. I'm like, I couldn't do it. I don't know what I would do. Yeah, I feel for those people with little kids.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say about checking with your husband is he may be feeling the same way. He's in the house too. He may appreciate some time to go do stuff by himself. So maybe you could work out, like, hey, every day I'll run solo for an hour. If you'll run solo for an hour and, you know, give us both some space so we have some time to decompress. He may be feeling the same way and not want to tell you because he doesn't want to feel like he's letting you down.
So, right. And I mean, frankly, I don't know how old your kids are, but they might be sick of you too. And sometimes, like, kids don't have the vocabulary to be able to say that. So even if they're acting out and clinging on you, that could be because they don't want to be around you for that second. Like, kids need space too, and they don't know how to vocalize it. So, I mean, not your kid's age, Jackie, you're not going to get that. But you know what I mean? Once they hit kind of elementary school age, that can be really overwhelming too. And so maybe changing up the routine for them too, and having you take a little break and come home might be a good, like, de-stressor.
Yeah. Or like Stacy's husband would say, ether, if all else fails.
I hate that joke, that dad joke.
I know. He thinks he's very funny, though.
Man. I know. He's like, ether and duct tape. And I'm like, could you, like, lower your voice at least a little bit? Some people don't know about your lame dad joke. I read this thing online that said, have your kids play doctor and you're like the patient and you're dead so that you can take a nap. So you can lay there and not have to move for a little while. I was like, that's a great idea. Or play Sleeping Beauty and you're Sleeping Beauty.
Hide and seek and just be like, I'll go first. Go
first. Yeah, right? And get the best hiding spot ever.
And I think too, utilize bribes. Utilize scream time. All of the things that are like, you're not supposed to do that too much. That is like emergency equipment right now. And this is a state of emergency. So I feel like you're allowed to use that. So if you're like, oh my gosh, they've been on their screens, they've been doing homework, whatever, and you need to just let them sit in front of the TV or play video games for an hour so you can sit down and read or sit down and whatever, do it. No one's going to judge you for that. Yeah. If it means you have mac and cheese for dinner or you do what you got to do to get by right now. This is we are in a state of emergency, and I think desperate times call for desperate measures sometimes.
Yep.
So our next question is from Carrie. She said, my wife and I have been together for 15 years. Besides our kids, she's the best thing that ever happened to me, which I always think that's so sweet when people say that. Mm-hmm. And I love her dearly. We used to have date nights once a month, but because of the pandemic, we haven't. Besides the obvious that very little has been open, we don't want anyone coming over to watch the kids. Any tips on a date night at home? We need one bad. Oh, this is so hard.
I have so many ideas.
Oh, good. If you guys are going to send stuff like this in, it would also be helpful if we knew the ages of your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, I have ideas because I'm probably the only one who's been quarantine dating.
Well, yeah.
As far as I know. But I think same thing. Use whatever you need to use to get your kids occupied, right? Like, rent a movie for them. Let them do something they're not allowed to do all the time. Make that a special thing, wait till they go to bed, whatever. But as far as like the date night portion, I really like the idea of like picking somewhere that you two normally like to go together and try and recreate that at home. So I know I have like a Disneyland themed date this weekend because we're both annual pass holders. So we're going to, obviously it's going to.
So when's the wedding?
So, and he's got a fluffy white dog. So, like, that's virtual, but you could totally do that in person. What?
Is Aaron catfishing you?
I don't, maybe. This one might be Aaron. But you could totally pick a place like Disneyland and like, okay, we're going to put our Disneyland clothes on. If you're like me and you have Disneyland clothes. You know, they have the recipes online for some of the, you could make Dole Whips and churros and you could watch, you know, a Disney movie or you could watch videos from the theme park. And, but you could do that anywhere. If you've had a really like wonderful, memorable vacation to Hawaii, then make some Hawaiian food and put on some, you know, Hawaiian music and do something fun that reminds you of something that you've, you know, that you've done together or somewhere that you like to go together. I also really like the idea of just kind of taking a trip down memory lane, set aside some time to go through old pictures and old videos. Cause a lot of people don't do that on their phones. And that's really fun to do. Like, you know, just spend, I think, get creative with the stuff that you can do at home. There's plenty of places that are doing like virtual paint nights where you go pick up a little kit and then there's a video to watch and you could, you know, have some wine, paint your little thing. I think there's a lot of stuff that you can do at home that isn't very expensive. But between clothes, food, and something to watch or listen to that can set the mood to put you somewhere else other than your home, do that.
I really like that idea. That's a super good idea.
Well, what can I say? All of my successful relationships have led me here.
I think like our best date nights is like getting a movie and popcorn and candy for the kids, plugging them in, and we like to go get a bunch of weird food that we don't normally eat, like something crazy like lobster tails, stuffed mushrooms, like weird stuff, and we get champagne and we cook together, and like we'll get a movie for us for after the kids go to bed. But I think cooking together is a really good one because he won't, oh my God, stop. He's like standing over my shoulder like, what do you want me to do? What are we doing? This is fun. As long as you can plug your kids into something else, I don't know how old they are, so that you can get that little bit of alone time, I feel like is the best. You guys, what? You guys are laughing over my shoulder and I have no idea what's going on.
Kai's making sexual gestures.
Okay. Yeah, keep your sex life up too during the pandemic. That's a good hedge.
It's really, I don't know your kids' ages, but like we have a 2-year-old that doesn't go to sleep until 10. And even when we start trying to get him to bed at like 8, every night it's 10. And it's not like, oh, skip a nap and he'll go to sleep earlier. That's not a thing. Not around here. So I totally get like, and not to mention, he is habitually attached to my wife. He's just more attached to her. Like I am very much more his playmate. And when he's tired or cranky or like whatever, he goes to her. So unfortunately, even when I like try to take him from her when he's whiny and stuff, he's just not having it. So she bears the brunt of a lot of the emotional drainage of the toddler. So by the time he actually goes to sleep, my poor wife is exhausted. Like, exhausted. So if you're in a situation like that, you may have to set up dates during like actual nap time or first thing in the morning when the kid's in a better mood, or, you know, it's going to be dependent on everybody's situation. If your kids are a little bit older too, I was talking to a lady at work and she was saying her kids actually set up a date night for her and her husband where they like, they were the little waiters and like they were servers and they, you know, brought them out food and they had made them dinner. And like, so if you're, depending on the age of your kids, they may want to participate in that too. And then they willingly left them alone for the night. It was their anniversary. So they kind of went and did their own thing for the rest of the evening. And it was the 12 and 14 year old. So again, a little bit older, but they enjoyed participating. They'd clean the house for them and like all this other stuff. So,
and if you have teenagers, mm-hmm. they're grossed out by that anyways. So just say, we're having a date night, get lost, mm-hmm. go in your room,
or we're going to make out in front of you. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Also, like look to your city, your community, your town, whatever, for like what they're doing too. Cause a lot of towns are putting on different little events that you can do. Like, last Friday, my kids set up date night for my husband when he got home from work. So they popped a bunch of popcorn and we took them and got candy. And they surprised him with a ticket to a drive-in movie theater that the town next to us put on. So that was really cool because they could socially distance. They put the like sound over the AM radio and they set up a screen and everybody just pulled up and like watched it. And they had, this is a fairground, so a bunch of people came and served like popcorn and corn dogs and like a bunch of fair food. So if you look to your community, maybe on Facebook, you know, those town pages, I think a lot of communities are putting on events to keep people entertained. We have another one where it's like you said, picking up paint night kits. Or decorating cookies. They do like a succulent thing where they record a video. You go pick up all the stuff to make like a succulent wreath and then they play the video for you and then you can like put it together. So those are cute ideas too.
Yeah, it's hard. Pandemic life is hard, man.
Yeah, it really is. You have to find, you just have to be creative. You have to be flexible and you have to just acknowledge the fact that things aren't normal, right? Like you're not going to have any of your normal date things. What can you do that would be just as fun? Piper's got a lot of opinions too.
So Stace, how's it going at school?
It's been really, really good. I feel bad because I have a friend who has younger kids. They're like fourth and sixth grade or something like that. And they're really struggling. And I'm like, oh, I feel terrible because my kids are like just flourishing. They have they're like 30 minute online meetings with the teachers. Everybody is like being vocal and talking and it seems really good. I know a lot of the kids are saying they don't have good internet connection just so they can turn their mic off and listen and just do the chat, the typing chat. And I'm like, knock it off, you guys. The poor teachers are like, guys, somebody answer. And I'm like, turn that mic on. engage with your teacher. But it seems like for the most part, everybody's really engaging. My oldest has ceramics class, and that's been really therapeutic for her. She gets on an hour before the class even starts and works on her ceramics. And the teacher's been able to set up pickups where she can go pick up clay and utensils and stuff. So it's been really good for us. They miss their friends, but this is so much better than that, what, 10, 12 week summer we had where it was like they were out of touch with their friends for so long. At least this way they get to talk to their friends a little bit, see their faces.
Yeah. Pandemic life is continuing on here as well. So what do you guys think about the whole Nancy Pelosi getting caught getting her hair done?
I mean, there's like no excuse.
For sure.
And I hate that. Is making up excuses and trying to be like, well, blaming the people that like put the video out or whatever. I'm like, shut up. You got caught up. Own it. You have to just own it.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Like there's no justification for that, right? Like she certainly isn't the only person who's gone into a closed salon or had somebody come to their house or gone to somebody's garage to get their hair done. She's not. But you hold her to a higher standard and just admit it. Like just admit. I mean, Lex did send us a thing today that said one of the guys that works there was saying the salon owner was actually forcing them to come in and work during the pandemic. So if that's true, and then this lady's like on TV crying about how I would be really pissed about that. But I mean, if it's not, like on the one hand, there's no excuse for it. You got caught. Just admit you shouldn't have done it. You were wrong. But there's also such bigger fish to fry right now that I just kind of don't care that much.
Yeah.
Well, it's how it always goes down, right? Like, because Democrats are continuously trying to hold like the moral high ground of everything. Anytime the smallest like bullshit thing happens, everyone's like, oh, high and mighty. Look at you. Look at you broke the rules, blah, blah, blah. And listen, yeah, Pelosi, you fucked up. Okay. Own it. Say you're sorry. Say it was inconsiderate. Okay. It was selfish. You used your fucking privilege to do something that not everyone can do. It was a mistake. But yeah, is it the end of the world? No. And she could have totally spun this. She could have been like, listen, we were opening salons in California in 3 days. I got in ahead of time. I did use my privilege for that. I apologize for any stress that it's caused anyone. I'm sorry that this has affected so many people. I wasn't thinking about my actions. It was a selfish move. Now let's focus on the bigger issues going on in the country right now, like the civil war that's about ready to break out in the streets. Like the...
Yeah, that's a good better. TV like that.
But I actually lost a lot more, like, I was hoping that it was going to be something along those lines. But when she went in and was like, I was set up, I was like, even if that's true, getting into, like, the weeds on this, it doesn't, like, if you were set up, that's going to come out. Let it come out. Own it. Be a grown up. Right. And move on with your day.
Even, like you said, even if you were being set up, you went into a salon that was closed. Mm-hmm. They did a blowout, which isn't allowed.
Weren't set up. You got
caught.
You
weren't wearing a mask.
Right. Yeah.
Like, there were several indiscretions. Just admit to it. Everybody messes up. Everybody makes bad decisions. Well, if that's the worst decision you make,
if that's what they caught you on, you're doing okay. And that's what I would lead with. Like, this this is the worst thing that I have done. I'm sorry, you know, whatever. And I mean, not to be that person, because I'm truly not defending her. I think what she did was categorically stupid. Stupid. I think we're all guilty of doing something that we're not supposed to do during quarantine.
Right. That's the thing I think that pissed me off a little bit was the, like, response from salon owners and hairdressers and stuff. I get it. You've had to be closed, like, because people are independent contractors. Not everybody's received unemployment or were able to get PPP loans. Like, I get that. But on the other hand, I know an awful lot of people that work in that industry that haven't been following the rules and that are still continuing to see clients. And, you know, even right now, like, the girl that does my eyebrows, that's not allowed. She's been doing eyebrows for like 3 months now. And, you know, permanent makeup's not allowed right now. So I do think there's a level of, like, what she did was wrong and it wasn't okay. But I'd like to see the percentages of people who have actually been following the rules, because it's not fair to those who have. I know people that have been following the rules. They haven't been doing hair at home. They haven't been letting people into their salons. They've been playing by the rules, right? And I think that anybody who was participating in that should lose their license. I mean, they violated that. That to me is a bigger issue. Like, you've taken on the responsibility of making sure that things are clean and safe and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it makes me wonder, what other stuff are you not doing to, like, buck the system? Like,
I understand.
Well, and I shouldn't say lose a license. Okay, they should, that's whatever repercussion goes along with violating that order through the, you know, Board of Barbery and Cosmetology or whatever. I don't know if it's losing the license or what it is, but
I was going to say, I don't know about losing the license, just because I think this is such a desperate time for people. And if it made the difference between, like, keeping a roof over my kid's head and not, I would do just about anything to make sure I could do that. I understand what you're saying for the people who have been following the rules and, like, figuring it out. And, like, and it super sucks for them. And I'm not saying that, like, rule breaking is the answer, but I also don't know if permanently pulling their license is the answer during these times. Like, there has to be some kind of middle ground of...
Right. And I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, I don't either.
But also, Nancy Pelosi looked like shit like the rest of us. That's the other
thing. My wife's been cutting my hair.
I haven't gotten a haircut. I finally have a nail appointment tomorrow, and it's outdoors. And part of me is like, a little like, oh God, am I that person who's like, oh, they open, I want to get my nails done. But like, I am. I'm going to get a pedicure. In my defense, I can't massage my scar tissue in my foot as hard as a person doing my pedicure can, because it hurts too bad. So, and I'm helping support a small business.
So you don't have to defend it to us.
I feel like that makes it okay. But I feel safe about it, that it's outdoors. Everybody has to wear masks. Like, that is cool with me. But like, my eyebrows look terrible. My hair needs to be colored. My hair needs to be cut. Like, everybody has shit that they need to get done. And Nancy Pelosi, you know, suffer like the rest of us. Box dye your hair.
I did. My husband dyed my hair like, what, Friday, whatever, Saturday. Yep.
Yeah. You gotta, you know, you want to be a Democrat. You got to be a woman of the people.
Yeah. Or they're going to own you for it.
Look tore up like the rest of us. Stop.
Yeah.
Put on your sweatpants. Put on a sports bra, because we know none of us are wearing real bras anymore.
Gain 10 pounds.
Lose some confidence and get on our level.
And I mean, you're 100% right. You can get away with that shit if you're a Republican. Like, you can't. They all, because they've been shouting from the rooftops from the beginning that they think they should be able to get there. So everyone assumed they were going out and doing it in shady ways. You can't pull that shit as a Democrat. No. Like, you just can't.
If a Republican got caught doing it, they'd be like, fuck it, this is my freedom and I'm going to do what I want.
Business right, they would have owned it.
That work when you're a Democrat, yeah.
Yeah, they would have owned it. So this is one of the pitfalls. You're held to a different standard. Like, that's just the way it is. So, yeah, again, the big scheme of things, I don't fucking care what Nancy Pelosi did, but she really should have just owned up to it and been done with it. Like, nobody has anything else to do right now but fucking stare at social media, so everyone's going to know what dumb shit you're doing.
Yeah.
What else dumb shit's happened this week? Oh, besides, oh God, besides Trump even calling veterans losers and...
Suckers
and losers?
Yeah, you think he would have learned after the shit he said about John McCain? Like, you know, about him being a POW, how he prefers people that didn't get caught? Like, you think you'd learn from something like that, but learning isn't a thing that happens. I don't know what happened to his brain folds at some point. But
The Atlantic has been around since Abraham Lincoln was in office. It was his paper. Like,
yeah.
And then the AP reported on it. So you can come out and say all you want. I didn't say it. I never said that, blah, blah, blah. You can trot out Sarah Huckabee Sanders, whatever. No one believes you.
No, right.
Because you know what? It's so on brand. It's right. So fucking on if brand for him.
Said, you know what? There's a lot of Democrats I respect. Everybody would be like, what the fuck? You didn't say that. Because that would be off brand. If,
you here's the difference. Something
untrue and that's just dickish.
If someone had come out and said, I heard George Bush saying that, I'd be like, nah, I don't believe that.
Right.
I think that's fake news. Like, yes. I would have been like, someone's lying to get attention or whatever. And that's a Republican president. I wouldn't believe that he'd be caught saying that. And I 100% really believe it's
for
Trump.
For someone who dodged the draft
so
because
stupid.
Of his heel spurs to call anybody a loser.
Yeah, right.
What have you been seeing on Republican Facebook, Stace?
Tell
me the lies. Tell me. So I can get worked up and drink more wine.
Right now, it's a lot of Pelosi stuff right now.
Of course.
So that's pretty
I feel like okay. Pelosi and SB 145.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what is up with the pedophiles right now. So it seems like we're at war with pedophilia on social media. So
as
like
always.
All of a sudden it's usually as always, but right now it's like Save the Children is a big, huge movement right now. But it also seems like on the Republicans' pages, it's also pedophiles coming out of the woodwork wanting rights and wanting to be able to label themselves. And I mean, is this just something that Republicans are putting out? Is there truth to this? Are they really trying to make it legal? I don't understand.
So I unfortunately did a deep dive into this. And I mean, unfortunately, because there were certain parts that I honestly felt sick to my stomach. Like, you go too far to the bowels of the internet and you just need to turn around. Like, there should be, like, warning signs before you hit certain things.
I think there are.
Because I was just like, oh, God. So the whole thing, and I think we've talked about it on here before, so I'm only going to go over it briefly. This is the whole Save the Children movement. It's been a push, a major push from QAnon. And let me be perfectly clear. Human trafficking of children is atrocious. Like, it has been going on for centuries. It continues to go on. It's fucking terrible. It's absolutely horrible. And I'm so glad there's so many organizations that it's their one and only purpose to find these kids and help get them back to their families and to put these offenders in prison. Like, that, I want to be very clear about that. But every few years, one of these hard pushes for child trafficking comes up, and it's one of the biggest conspiracy theories because there's so little known about it, because so much of it is done like in the shadows and in the dark. And when I first started seeing the information, I was like, oh my God, this is horrific. Like, because that's what it's meant to do, right? Shock you to be like, holy fuck, what is happening? And then I started reading their lists of accused pedophiles, and it's conveniently all super left-wing celebrities, mm-hmm. which I'm not saying all of them are guilty or all of them are innocent. I'd don't know. I honestly, none of us know any of them. It's just awfully convenient that it's only Democrats that are on this list,
right.
Which was my first red flag. Like, it would not be difficult to convince me that Bill Clinton is involved in some kind of weird pedo bullshit. That's not a stretch in my head. You're going to have to work to convince me that Michelle Obama is, though. And you're going to have to work to convince me that Tom Hanks is. And Barack Obama. Like, those are going to... And Oprah. Like, fuck off, dude. She was abused as a kid. Like, those types of things are red flags in my head. If you had ended at, like, Bill Clinton, I'd be like, yeah, I think you're onto something. Like, clearly he's into some bullshit that he shouldn't be into. But one of the reasons it's come up is QAnon is an organization that... He does these Q drops where, like, he talks in code. He or she, they, we'll call them they because I don't know. They talk in code, predicting what is happening with the U.S. government. They're supposedly a super high ranking official within, like, the intelligence portion of the government. And when he does these news drops, he does it in code and people decipher it and then tell you, like, what's really going on in the government. So,
oh, God.
Yeah. So Q has said that Trump was appointed because we have kings here, by some very, very high level military and CIA officials. He was put in office. Yes, the election was cheated, but that was intentional because he was put in to put a stop to this super elite pedophilia ring that not only traffics and has sex with children, but also eats them and uses their blood to stay young. And I'm not even fucking with you. This is what
that's
they believe.
That's where Pizzagate came from.
And there's a whole global cabal that's going on that this super elite group of pedophiles runs the entire world. The entire world. This is what they believe. And now they're all starting to be revealed because of the good work that Trump is doing. The problem is they're only being revealed on QAnon. They're not being arrested. They're not being, like, outed by...
Not on the news.
Right. They're not. It's just through this super secret drop of decoded messages and these memes you see going around where someone puts a list together and is like, here's the list from Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs. Like, see for yourself. And it's like, okay, but Jeffrey Epstein's actual flight logs in their handwriting are available online and none of those names are on there. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But people won't actually go and check that. So that's why you see all of these things being passed around now, because so Trump with suburban women is getting his ass handed to him. Like, it's 65% are voting for Biden, which suburban women are pretty heavily independent / Republican. So they typically go for a Republican candidate. If he loses suburban white women, he loses the election. So what is the fastest way to scare suburban white women?
Not threaten their children.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll listen to nothing. And that's an instinct, right? Like, I'm not even blaming them. That's a gut instinct to be like, holy fuck, people's kids are going missing and they're being molested and they're being hurt and my kid is probably going to be next. And again, I'm not saying this doesn't happen. It does. But if you go on the Polaris website, who is the main human trafficking organization that deals with, like, finding missing children and helping them be returned to their households, they give you the statistics and they put out a press release saying, please stop calling this stuff in. It's not true. And you're making our jobs harder because you're overwhelming our tip lines and we're not able to get to actual children that need help. And they will tell you 81% of missing kids or trafficked kids comes from people they know. Mm-hmm. A new step parent has come in and decided that they don't want children. So they sell them, fucking sell them. Or a mom who is addicted to some type of drug sells their kids into child or to labor. Or people who are fleeing impoverished and war-ridden countries are trying to get their kids into the United States and trafficking is the only way that they can do it. Or they're being told it's a safe passage and they're actually being trafficked into something much worse. You're talking about desperate people. It's only like 6% that are actually taken by someone they don't know. Mm-hmm. And of the like 200,000 children that go missing every year, it's something like... Only like 115 are actually never accounted for. Like, they don't know what actually happened. My numbers aren't completely accurate. Go to the Polaris website and look at this. But it's a much, and I'm not saying it's a small issue because any kid missing, I can't even imagine like the pain and suffering that's the very worst thing that I can imagine ever happening to me, like ever.
Yeah. Ever.
So I'm not downplaying one is too many. I'm not downplaying that at all. But it's a very different number than what the Save the Children hashtags are saying. And one of the other issues is you're starting to see all these like busts now where like people in Georgia, they found 20 kids in a building. And like one of the other problems is there's been a shit ton of kids that have gone missing from these detention facilities where we were holding kids in cages. And they have been talking about that for 2 years and no one gave a shit. They couldn't find like 2,000 kids or something like that. And now they're starting to find them in swaths. But it's playing into QAnon's conspiracy. So
what's interesting when we see these like new headlines where it says, you know, 30 kids were found. I don't remember what state it was.
Georgia.
The other day, and it's like, okay, but you see all these missing kids posters and ads and, you know, all this stuff. Why are we not being found? Like, who is 30 kids that they found, and why is it not publicized that they were found? You know what I mean? Because we see so many missing kids.
Mm-hmm. Right. If any of it was real, you'd see it on the news.
Well, no, those kids were real. Right. They did find them.
But who are the kids? Like, are they because you're not seeing this missing kid found,
right,
who has been missing for 6, 8, 10 months, however long, and all of a sudden this kid is found? Because I feel like I see a lot of missing kid flyers posted on Facebook, and it's where did these 30 missing kids is a lot.
Yeah.
Why was the 30 missing kids not publicized more?
I think we're going to find out that a lot of these little like bunches of kids that they're finding are actually being found from the detention facility.
From detention facilities, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah. It's also kind of like with minors, they don't give out a ton of information. So you kind of, because they're not going to release names, they're not going to release anything like that.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. If my kid was missing and found, I'd be like screaming from the rooftops, because I'd be like, I'm going to come find you, motherfucker, whoever did this. And I will be in jail the rest of my life because I'm going to kill you. Like, that's
right.
That's how that would
I feel like as many like missing posters that I see on social media, I feel like I should be seeing as many found ones.
Mm-hmm. And
because it seems like I keep seeing these raids where they find all these kids.
I'm also kind of like, did you guys see that girl that went missing that was like live on TikTok?
No.
Okay, so
like she went missing while she was live?
Like her mom was like screaming at her, and like she was like, stop, you're hurting me. And now she's apparently I couldn't bring myself to watch the video, I'm gonna be real honest. I was watching people post about it, but my other thing was the girl was about 9.
Mm-hmm.
And she's this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl, and her mom's clearly hurting her, but someone's obviously filming. So how did this end up on TikTok?
Right.
Like,
what's the...
Well, I mean, news travels fast on TikTok. Have you guys heard of Sophie Long yet?
That's a big one going around. That's what I'm talking
about. Oh, okay. She's not missing. So what happened is the parents have shared custody. She was staying with her dad for the weekend, and when it was time for her to be returned to her mom and her grandma came to pick her up.
Okay, yes.
And her dad starts filming because she started throwing like a huge fit and saying, I'm not going back. She's like kicking her mom and saying no. And so the mom and the grandma kind of get in the car and start talking to her, and they say, why don't you want to come home? What did your dad tell you? And she's like, dad didn't do this. Like, dad is not telling me to say stuff. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is not dad's fault. And she's 9. And she keeps saying, like, no, I'm not going with you. I'm not. Stop trying to pull me out of the car. You're hurting me. Like, whatever.
She finally says,
mom has men over that touch me. And that's why I'm not going to go back, because they hurt me. And the way she says it, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, this is just a kid throwing a fit that wants to stay with one parent. I don't understand where the big, you know, like crazy thing of this is. Because it's like a 10-minute video.
Right.
So I'm waiting. And finally they break her down and she says a couple lines where you're like, that's not something a kid would say. She didn't make that up. She says, you know, she woke up one morning with blood in her underwear, you know? So she says some stuff that is, it's hard to watch. So the dad ends up, because the mom says it's on the court paperwork, she has to come with us. The mom takes the kid, and then she serves the dad.
Trying to talk her out of it too. The grandma's like, well, because she said, like, they make me feel bad about myself, and it makes me feel bad about myself. And grandma's like, well, what about the talent show? You feel good about yourself during the
Oh, yeah. Trying to the grandma's her. Very manipulative. Yeah, she's she says,
manipulating her.
She says, I feel bad about myself because these men are touching me. There's like three men that come over and they touch me, and I feel bad about myself, so I don't want to go home with you guys. And the grandma says, if you feel so bad about yourself, why did you have the lead in the play? Like, why did you try out for the play? Why did you do these things? If you feel so bad, like, she, the grandma sounds like a terrible person too.
Right.
So, and then she says,
the girl is like, that doesn't mean that my feelings don't matter.
Right. She's surprisingly like articulate with the things she says is very, it feels very, very real what she's saying.
Yeah,
exactly. So, the grandma says, you know, we had a good time. What happened? You know, like, your dad must be saying this, whatever. So they end up taking the girl. The dad has to let her go with them, cause it's court ordered. So then the mom turns around and serves the dad with papers that say she cannot come back to you until we can go to court. So the dad is saying she's not missing. He's just, he hasn't seen her since then.
Okay. So, that, so the right, yeah, so, my right wing friends are saying she's missing.
No, but she's with the mom, but the dad is saying, I haven't seen her in 9 days. I haven't seen her in 10 days. Now it's like, you know, it's been a couple of weeks. If you want to look it up, I watch it on YouTube and TikTok both. There, it's called Stand with Sophie.
Yes.
And her name is Sophie Long, if you want to Google what's going on.
Here's what I don't understand, though. As a parent, if I was in a situation where Lex and I were divorced and Lincoln wanted to go, he was having that kind of breakdown, and I heard that, I'd be like, hold the fuck up. Nobody's going anywhere. We're going to the police station right now together, and we're going to figure this out, because
the police were there.
Yeah.
Why didn't they fucking intervene?
She threw such a fit in the car that somebody ends up calling the cops, and the cops are standing there watching, and they see it as just a custody battle where the kid doesn't want to go back. And the mom says, it's court ordered. She comes back with me no matter what she says. And so she had to go with the mom.
Not on my watch. Tell you what, I'd be like, well, guess what, honey? I'm coming home too.
Right. Like, in here, she's saying that these men are touching her and that she woke up with blood in her underwear and they don't do anything about it.
I'd be parked out in front of my ex's house. Like, that's where I would be living every day until, like.
And the dad is trying to do what he can with trying to stay legal and not, you know, get in trouble. But the one I saw today was the dad ends up, he finally gets to FaceTime Sophie, and he is like blocking the view from the mom, and he's holding up papers that say stuff on it so that she can answer without the mom hearing what the dad is asking. And he says, are the strange men there with you? And she says, if she nods, and he says, how many? And she holds up four fingers, and then it cuts off. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh my gosh.
Her dad, like, that feels like he's so stuck he can't do anything.
But with all of this, why haven't police gone over to that house yet? Like,
he gets very, very current. It's like we're getting updates as it's happening. Like, I think this happened like today that he's trying to communicate with her.
I don't know. It'd be hard for me. I don't know. I understand that we all handle like stress and shit differently, and like, I'm sure he's trying to do the very, very best he can and make decisions that won't cost him custody in the future. And, but you wouldn't pry me away from the front of that house. Like,
the amount of people that are posting, I mean, there's thousands of Stand with Sophie posts on TikTok and videos, and like just people that are rooting for this little girl and trying to be with her that have called the cops and sent them, because the mom's address, of course, got out. So everybody's calling the cops and sending them to this address and saying, do a welfare check. Yay. So I think the dad is doing everything he can, but it's so hearsay that when the cops go knock on the door and they're like, is anything going on? Nothing's happening at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so all they can do is say, okay, well, nothing's going on. We can't do anything. Like, the cops' hands are tied too. I think it's
able to investigate.
Yeah,
that
why isn't though. Social services involved, and why didn't they pull her out of the house until and get her to talk to like that kind of stuff? Because typically, if that was, if you were to just call CPS and say, "I think this little girl is being abused, and I have proof. She admitted it here. Here's the videotape of the whole thing. You can see it for yourself." My understanding of the law is Child Protective Services would show up, remove the child from the house until they could get to the bottom of what was happening. Like the whole, well, we went, nothing was happening at that moment. Well, cool. But that's...
Right. And I think that's what the, where everybody's like screaming for justice right now is because the broken system is failing this little girl right now. And everybody's like, what the hell? Why is somebody not pulling this kid from the home?
Totally.
What, but how right wing is turning it into is this, she's like a victim of child trafficking kind of, and that's clearly this little girl's in distress and fuck, I hope she ends up okay, but it's just amazing how quickly things shift. Turn around. Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about what is going on with Ellen? Because I have only read bits and pieces and I have no idea what's going on. Why does everybody hate Ellen now? Do we have enough time in this episode to cover this?
So Ellen, some ex-employees came forward and pretty much said the culture at the Ellen show was abusive and toxic, and that a lot of the senior staff and writers not only were like cruel, but it was like, it was legitimate workplace harassment. Mm-hmm. And even though supposedly it wasn't coming from Ellen specifically, it was coming from her top staff and she should know what's going on. And she allowed a culture of toxic behavior to exist. And I mean, there's been some terrible stories about her too, saying like she staff couldn't even look at her. And like,
it's like two separate issues. Cause there's been celebrities that have gone on that show and said she was not nice and unfriendly and stuff. But yeah, it sounds like all of her executive producers and,
I watched all from grace.
I watched a video because it was on one of my Republican friends' Facebook pages, and I was like, oh, what is going on with Ellen? And I clicked on it, and it was a handful of celebrities that were shamed by Ellen on the show, and Taylor Swift was one of them, where she goes, let's like flash pictures of men up on the board and you tell me if you've dated them or not. And it goes through and she's dated all of them. And there's like 15 and she's like, you're making me feel really bad about myself. I feel like you're like shaming me for like dating all these guys.
They don't surprise people with bits like that. Like,
I don't know. Cause there's one with Justin Bieber too, where he was surprised. He was like, I don't want to talk about this. Please stop.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I also think comedy is a hard thing to navigate. And like, I think sometimes she thinks she was being funny when it's only a joke if everyone involved thinks it's a joke. Right. Well, and I don't think everyone took it that way.
And a daytime talk show or
two.
And venues. I think what's going on at the Ellen show is horrible. Like, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think she rightfully lost her job. Like, you are responsible for the culture of your work environment. But I will say, as with most things, there's a lot of gray area, right? Like, she's been on for 15 years, recording every day. You are not going to be on and perfect every single day of every show. And with the thousands of hours that she's recorded, I'm sure you could, if I was recorded that often, you could go through and find the worst things that I've said and put it together. So I think sometimes as comedians, they write jokes thinking that they'll hit differently than they do. And then they don't, or not realizing that someone is sensitive about something. I'm not excusing her behavior. I don't want to get into a place in like the world where comedians are suddenly unable to be comedians. But I think the difference with Ellen is she did have, it was a daytime talk show. It wasn't stand up. You can be doing stand up and talk shit about whoever you want because people are going there with the understanding that I may get made fun of. People I like may get fun. Like, you go in thinking that. And I don't think that's always the understanding when you're it's just a different environment. And yeah, I think that sometimes she navigated it really poorly. But then you look at like Sofia Vergara, who she was always making fun of her accent and stuff, who came out and was like, no, I knew it was in good fun. Like, I don't, right. I didn't take it personally.
She was one of the people in that video I watched that was supposed to shame.
No, well, I think after that video came out, she did an interview saying, we were friends. It was in good fun. I didn't take it personally. It like, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Well, and the show hasn't been canceled.
But she's been removed.
I don't think officially. They removed the executive producers and that sort of stuff, but she has not been officially removed from the show.
Oh, I saw something that said she had. It may not be true. I didn't even read it. It's hard to keep up with everything.
Yeah, I've been intentionally avoiding it because I love Ellen. I'm every show I cry. I'm so just amazed by her generosity. She does all these amazing things, her giveaways, her single mom, she has all this stuff that I was just like, no way, this has to be made up, like the Oprah stuff or the Tom Hanks stuff. Well, there's no way.
No, I think some stations have opted not to carry the show, but as far as I can see, she's still there. But they did remove all of the employees that were complained about.
I mean, I think both things can be true. I think Ellen has added a lot of joy and goodness to the world. And I think that she also probably got really complacent in how her show was run because it had been on for so long and wasn't paying attention anymore, which is her fault.
Right. That but you know what? You know what I was thinking about with this, though, too? And again, not justifying anything that she's done, but there's this really interesting thing that happens on talk shows and like in movies and TV and stuff where you all of a sudden become a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're talent doesn't mean you've had training to be a supervisor. Mm-hmm. So like what in her career of being a stand-up comedian or having a TV show, you know, being on a TV show and stuff gives you proper training? I'm just curious what training she gets from her production company or anything on being a supervisor and making sure you're not following any of those rules. Because if you think about it, look how many comedians there are that are in positions like that. Conan O'Brien is a supervisor. Jimmy Fallon's a supervisor. Seth Meyers is a supervisor. Like all of those people that are showrunners, those people report directly to them. And it just makes me wonder, as somebody who supervises people, what kind of training do they actually get? And to what extent are they actually the boss? Like, I know your name's on it and stuff, but in the actual structure, the organizational structure of that.
Well, I think her biggest problem is because she's the queen of nice, right? Like, her tagline is be kind
she's
to everyone.
Human.
But her expectations were off the charts. I mean, people's expectations of her were off the charts. And I had heard similar things about the Ellen show like this, like that it's pretty much a cult and people are like, you're just lucky to work here. And I actually, do you guys listen to My Favorite Murder?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was Karen Kilgariff that alluded to that because she used to be a head writer for Ellen and she wouldn't say her name. Like, because I'm sure she has a non-disclosure agreement when she left the show. But she was talking about this time that she was a writer on a show where it was very cult-like. And, like, as soon as you start to kind of be like, I don't think things are right around here, everyone immediately turns on you and blah, blah, blah. And she never named the Ellen show by name. But that is what she is known for doing, is writing for Ellen. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of gray area here. Like, a toxic workplace is not anyone wants to work in. Yes, Hollywood is a cutthroat business. I don't think it's necessarily fair to be like, oh, she made these celebrities feel bad, because I think they were probably, I think though in those instances, it was probably jokes that missed, or some people took offense to them, or possibly the person took offense, but it didn't stop them from coming back over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I'm much more concerned about like, how do the employees feel? Because they're not rich. They're not making the money that those celebrities are. Like, they didn't really have a voice. And all of them have said, you know, it was the producers and stuff, but you have to be pretty fucking blind to not notice that if all of the toxicity is accurate, if it all is, and you're going there every day to work, how the fuck do you not notice that?
Right. Yeah.
And even if you aren't trained as a supervisor, which I agree with you, like how, what are your credentials from going from stand-up comedian to being like a supervisor of 150 people? You could still, you're aware of how people behave or act or feel, or like, you can still sense that. And at what point are you like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, right. How, why?
Right. And if you don't, you're not spending enough time with the people who work for you.
Yeah.
That's still a problem.
And then you should bring in other people that are actually going to take over those day-to-day management that actually oversee the producers. Like, you should have. And I mean, hindsight's 2020. We can armchair quarterback it all the fucking time. The truth is, Ellen could retire now and she'll be fine.
The truth is, we'll never really know what the truth is.
The thing, it's hard to watch one of your heroes fall from grace. It's painful to watch. It will still never take away all of the good Ellen has done for the LGBTQ community. Like, that is just a fact. Without Ellen, we wouldn't be where we are. And I'm not saying only Ellen. There's 100 people in our community that are responsible for it. But Ellen, publicly, she broke a lot of barriers. And she broke a lot of glass ceilings. And we would not exist as where we do now as quickly as we did without Ellen DeGeneres.
Let's put it this way. There's a lot of people still listening to Michael Jackson music.
Yeah.
And eating Subway.
Right. Yeah. Just saying.
So I think it's just another one of those things. Both things can be true. Like, you can think what happened is horrible and that repercussions need to be taken and that nobody should be treated that way. And
think still, that Ellen is funny and enjoy the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. And still appreciate what she has done.
Yeah.
Just like you can hate Hillary Clinton and still appreciate that she broke several glass ceilings for women in politics. Like, both of those things can be true. Like, a lot of our foremothers who are the reason we have the right to vote were racist assholes.
Yeah.
Both of those things are true.
A lot of them had slaves. A lot of them.
A lot of them didn't want black people to be able to vote, especially black women. Like, all of the people are fucking complicated, and we do ourselves a disservice when we put everyone in boxes and say, you are just this or you are just that, because people are lots of things, lots of things. And I think when you're under the scrutiny, like someone like Ellen is consistently for that many years, you are going to find chinks in the armor if you look closely enough. You just are.
Yeah.
And do I think there's probably a shit ton of asshole male bosses that get away with dumb shit that Ellen is not getting away with? I do. Again,
it doesn't change the circumstances.
It doesn't change what happened to those employees. So
Why
don't we hold everybody to the standards then that we hold Ellen to? How about that?
But I
agree with you. I still think she's funny. I still think she changed a lot of people's lives, and people are like, well, that wasn't money from her. That was money from Shutterfly or her sponsors or whatever. Okay. But they wouldn't have gotten it without Ellen. Like, so I don't know what to tell you. Like, she donates a ton of money to animal rights organizations too. And like, people are both good and bad, and claiming anyone is all bad or all good, you're setting yourself up to be very disappointed.
Yeah.
Because people are lots of things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one's hard for, I know it's hard for me to watch.
Yep.
I just hope that time heals, and in 20 years, her legacy is everything else. And it wasn't just one section of her time, and I just hope that that's what comes from it. Like, she's remembered for all of the other things also. I'm not saying erase this, but also.
Right.
I think Michael Jackson is. So I think if he did all the things that he's blamed for and he still is going down as the king of pop, then Ellen's good.
Going down.
Going down.
Dirty. Gross. What's everyone obsessed with this week? That wasn't even funny. I'm sorry. I take that back. That was not funny.
Yeah. That was little.
It was crude. Yeah. I apologize.
Okay. So obsessions. So a long time ago, I watched the show Euphoria on HBO, and I recommended it on here. I recommend it to adults, not teenagers. Nobody under 18 should be watching this show. So my
what about like a 17? 17 Or is it like yeah, a no, hard 18?
It's a hard 18.
Interesting.
It's a hard 18 for me. So, those my oldest is 16.
I've been hanging out with Kai.
Yeah, obviously. asked if she could go to Euphoria party. And of course, I'm not letting my kids go to big house parties because pandemic. But it was four or five kids. And I was like, yeah, no. What are you even talking about? That show is terrible for you. I said, you've never even seen the show. Why are you trying to go to this party? So she explained it. And it's the feeling of the party, which is very rave like. They wear glittery clothes, they have flashing LED lights, they dress funky, lots of furs.
Euphoria.
Aesthetic of Euphoria was is
drugs and stuff.
Right. So I was like, so you want to go to this kid's house and they're going to set it up like a rave with no drugs. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, tell me about these kids. So it ends up being the drama kids. And so I was like, of course it is. So they're talking about costumes they're going to wear and glittery makeup and the music, they're going to play the soundtrack. And I was like, okay, I feel a little bit better. But before I found this out, I talked to my close friend whose daughter was also invited. And I said, it's a Euphoria party. Like, bro, have you watched the show? And she's like, no, but my daughter did. And I was like, oh, she's even younger than my daughter. And I said, do you know what this show is about? And she's like, I know that there's some drugs involved and we talked about it and it's okay. And I was like, it's a little more than that. It's a lot of very violent sex, to be honest. It's very dark. And she was like, wait, what do you mean? So I referred her to this very awesome website, which is my roundabout way of talking about what I'm obsessed with, Common Sense Media. And I'm sure I've mentioned it on here before, but when I don't have time to pre-read or pre-watch a show or movie for my teens, I rely on this site. It has reviews of books, TV shows, and movies. It's reviewed by a professional, and then it's reviewed by parents and kids. So even the kids will get on and say, I'm a 14-year-old. I watched this. It is not for 14-year-olds. I was scarred. It needs to be 16+, or, you know, whatever. And then it breaks it down by topic. It goes drugs, violence, sex, positive messages. I don't remember what the other two topics are, but you can click on each one and it has a star rating. It's like, you know, 1 through 5 stars. It's like Euphoria is a 5-star for sex. You click on sex and it goes through you at this episode or whatever, you see full frontal male nudity. Then you go into, there's very graphic, you know, male masturbation, and it goes through and it lists all the things so that you can decide if you as a parent want to let your kid watch this. And it's so detailed. And, like, then you can go into the reviews and the people will talk about, hey, so the masturbation scene is this, blah, 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 blah. And it talks about if it's a positive or a negative message. It is the best tool for parents of teens. I mean, like, usually I try to pre-read and pre-watch all my kids' stuff, but who the fuck has time for that? So I feel like this tool, every teen parent should be using it for everything. It's so good. So good. That's what I'm obsessed with. It really helped my friend see what her daughter watched and kind of go, take a step back and kind of go, okay, I need to be a little bit more diligent about saying yes to some shows. Cause she was like, well, you let your daughter watch Orange is the New Black. I feel like that's just as bad as Euphoria. And I was like, oh no,
no,
no. Orange is the New Black is a lot more, I mean, there is sex. And there is some nudity, but it seems like such a more positive, there's so many good messages, mm-hmm. so many good life lessons and stuff. And Euphoria, while being good entertainment, is not good messages at all.
I want to watch it.
CommonSenseMedia.com. It's a good show for an adult. I was on the edge of my seat for a lot of it. Not for kids.
Good to know. I'm going to have to remember that website when
it
gets older.
It might even review video games. I've never had to go down that path, but it might.
Fun.
Parenting. I got some time to worry about that one.
You do.
Yes, you do. Lots of time. But I feel like I've been using it since the kids were like 10 or 12 because of books. It was, you know, like I pre-read like Hunger Games, Twilight, of course, those kind of books. But there were some books where they would bring them to me and be like, "Hey,
read them because you wanted."
I wanted to read them.
I was
of
making sure they were fine for.
But there were some books that they would bring up and be like, "I've never even heard of that author, and I've never heard of that title, and I don't have time to read this dictionary-sized book. Hold on a second, let me go look." And like, it's helped me with books before movies. Now with teenagers, shit, they want to watch everything. And with the apps, my daughter told me, "Oh, well, kids have like HBO logins with different names on their Nintendo Switch so that they can watch shows without their parents seeing it."
Yeah,
I was like, what? Yeah.
That's when you got to put up the parental blocks on your Wi-Fi that don't let them access it.
They go to each other's houses.
God damn
like
it.
I let her go to this party, and I was like, I know these kids, they're not drunk kids, they're goofy, like good kids. But at the same time, I thought, I'm the only risk I'm worried about is that they're gonna put on the show in the background, and she's gonna end up like watching, because she's not gonna stand up and be like, I can't watch this, guys, I'm not allowed to, because everybody at the party has seen this, and I'm like, Jesus, yeah.
Never mind. I'll keep my toddler. You can keep your teenager.
See?
That sounds stressful. I'm bummed out about watching Mickey 150 times, but yeah, I don't know about full frontal male masturbation. That's a lot.
But it's like, is it a good message or is it a bad message?
It depends on the context of it.
If you've never seen the show, this girl gets. She goes to a party. She ends up sleeping with a guy, and the guy videotapes it, posts it, and everybody sees it. So she ends up going to school, and everybody slut shames her. So she decides to run with it, and she wears like a vinyl like mini dress and tons of makeup, and is like, "I'm gonna be very dominatrix style and run with it. If people are gonna slut shame me, look at me." So then she like gets online and kind of runs with it online too. So then she's selling videos of like a foot fetish kind of thing, you know? So she's like doing little stuff and acting dominatrix online for grown men to masturbate to. So you're kind of like, I'm sure you could, if you dig hard enough, you might find like a positive message to talk about your kids online. I don't know.
Not when you're selling foot fetish videos for a market too. Yeah.
Right.
If it was just like this is a normal thing teenagers do, masturbation. Like, different story.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have to dig to find positive messages in the show.
Ugh. What about you, Stacey?
Okay. So last night, and let me preface this by saying I have watched a YouTube video about this before, but I watched the documentary Class Action Park on HBO.
I'm excited to watch it too.
So good. So it's about this theme park in New Jersey called Action Park, where the whole idea was like, you're in charge of the action and whatever. It was just basically people with no engineering background,
perfect.
No anything.
Perfect.
In the 80s, designed a water park. Right. So like, I've seen YouTube videos about it before. I think Defunctland did one, and they do a lot of stuff about, like, closed theme parks, whatever. But this thing is crazy. Like, listening to the stories of the people that worked there, and, like, it, like, absolutely insane in this kind of small town, and to just have, like, multiple people died there.
Right.
Multiple.
Right, because...
I mean, people, like... flying off of slides and a wave pool that like three or four people drown in. Like, I mean, it was absolutely.
It's like an
crazy.
Aquatics person's worst nightmare.
I know. That's why I was like, obviously.
I'm so excited to watch it.
Like, literally the whole time I was like, nope, mm-mm, nope, 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 nope. I found myself like telling people to, like, in my mind, I was like, hey, walk, please. Like, hey, bud, walk. Like, there was a lot of that happening in my head. But these people and the guy who it's in the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away. But the guy who owned the park, nobody would insure him.
Right.
Of course.
Of course. And part of the park was on state land because it was an old ski resort. So mind you, you're like up in the mountains. People are taking ski lifts up to like tops of concrete slides and sliding down them in the middle of the summer. And I'm like, oh my God, there's one thing where they're talking about like this slide, right? And everybody gets like road rash and shit. So in the first aid room, they have a circle drawn on the floor in the first aid room. So when you came off that slide with all your road rash, they would spray this combination of like hydrogen peroxide and iodine on you. And if you stayed in the circle the whole time, you got a prize.
What the hell?
Right. Like just fucking bonkers. But anyways, this guy, he created his own fake insurance company in the Cayman Islands. So not only did he not have real insurance, he was also using it to launder money.
Oh my God. Everybody needs to go watch the trailer. I watched the trailer and was like, oh, I'm absolutely watching this.
What's it called?
Class Action Park.
It's on HBO.
Yeah.
I can't always get on my HBO because there's like 8 people that my sister has given my password to fucking everybody. I'm going to change it and give you the new one.
Okay. Yeah, I use yours.
Yeah.
But my sister just like fucking hands it out. So.
That sucks.
Oh, God. Yeah. Go watch Class Action Park because it's just like you cannot believe that these people like you could see where it started out pretty good natured. But then literally everybody working there was a teenager. They didn't have like adult supervision really at all. And they used to have a party every year called the Come On, I Wanna Leia party. Right. Oh, at one point they're like, oh, there was a shed up there, you know, where you could put your, you know, your backpack or your water or whatever. A lot of people got fingered for the first time in that shed. It's the most New Jersey thing you'll ever see. It's
oh my God. Crazy. I feel like this is the new like Tiger King documentary of the pandemic. Like this is the new like everybody's gonna be obsessed with.
Oh my God. They had a slide that like did a full loop, like you went upside down. Like
it looks like Jackass. It's like people paid to go be in Jackass.
I find those things very stressful. Like
I love it. Like didn't know what it was like or that there was so much like alcohol and that sort of stuff, and that was on one side of the freeway, and then you'd cross the other side of the freeway, so the water, so Action Park consisted of Water World and Motor World. So after you'd been out in the sun drinking all day, you headed over to Motor World where you could drive like speed boats that they were using as like bumper boats, and it is the craziest shit.
Oh, and how long it stayed open. Yeah. I mean, how did they...
A week.
It didn't close until, like, 1996, 1999, something like that. Yeah, like,
they stay open that long.
I have no idea. Because it's New Jersey. There's no laws in New Jersey.
Sign when they walked in the door. You're going to die. Here, sign this waiver.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah. What am I obsessed with this week? Ugh. Jeez.
Rough week.
It was a real rough week. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of stuff at work that I haven't done since I was a coordinator. Because I have some people that don't fully. When I got hired at the job I'm at now, they had just broken off my department from another department. And I work in Parks and Recreation, but it had been the Parks and Recreation department had bid under the Department of Environmental Resources for 30 years. So they were being run by people who are scientists and like care about like water chemical levels and like land, like not Parks and Recreation. So, the department got broken off and they were hiring a director. I got the job. So now I'm, working with people who, even though they've been there for 15 years, have never actually worked in a true Parks and Recreation department. So, it has been a struggle. A lot of people are wonderful and, you know, really enjoy their jobs and they just want to do the best they can. And then, I don't know how much people know about government work, but sometimes you get people that are just, it's very difficult to get fired from the government, mm-hmm. like very, very difficult. So you can get by with doing a lot of bullshit, that you wouldn't get away with in the private industry. So you run into these situations where people are like, it doesn't really matter what you say. I'm going to do it because this is how we've always done it. And you're not going to be able to get rid of me.
This is sounding obvious, like very familiar.
So I have a couple employees like that. And this probably doesn't speak well to like my supervisory participation, but yeah, skills, whatever you want to call them. But I've gotten to the point where I'm tired of fighting with them every day. So there's a few projects that were turned into me, not just half-assed, but just completely wrong. And instead of battling back and forth with them, because every argument, every conversation is so painful, I've just started doing them myself. So I can be like, this is how I want it to look from here on out. This is what this is the product I want you to provide. This is what I want you to do. And part of me is like, well, I guess they've never really had that. So I'm also asking them to produce something that they've never really seen because they've been in a different world, but it's tedious and it's painful. And like, I make almost $70 an hour. I should not be putting together rental packets. Like, that's not a thing I should be doing. It's not a good way to spend government money, but I refuse to let my department put out something that is half-assed. So it's just been, it's been a long week. It's been a long few weeks. Yeah. So that's what I'm probably obsessed with this week, because I'm creating forms and rental forms and like, I haven't done this in years. Like, I haven't done it in years. So it's.
Man, this is old school week.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not trying to sound like, oh, I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. It's not that. I wouldn't mind assisting and helping, being like, it should look like. It's frustrating because, one, they don't have the skills to do it because they've been promoted to these positions that they're not actually qualified to do because the department wasn't run like Parks and Recreation was run. I don't mind like mentoring and advising and being like, oh, we should move this around. And like, it would make more sense if like, you know, our waiver disclosures were at the back of the packet instead of just kind of sprinkled throughout it. Like those kinds of things I wouldn't mind doing. But I feel like since I'm starting from 100% the beginning, it's very painful. And actually, the most frustrating part for me isn't even doing it. It's that they have no interest in even learning it. That's the hard part. If we were all sitting down as a group and being like, okay, let's knock this out together and like, we can get this done quicker and stuff, but they just have zero interest. And it's hard to make people care, because when they don't care, they produce subpar work.
Yep.
So
yeah,
it's been
it's one of those like jobs where you really have to kind of be passionate about it to be happy and successful. And it sounds like if that's not really where they were coming from, you're not going to get a lot of that.
Right. You have to genuinely, to work in Parks and Recreation, because it is a fucking thankless job. Right. You have to genuinely love your community and want to make it a better place.
Like, you have to have a heart for public service to do.
Right. Because unlike other departments, we're completely at the will of customers. People can choose not to use us. It's not like your water where you're only getting it from one place. You're either getting your recreation from us, or you're getting it from a private company, or you're going completely out of the municipal area. Like, you can get it from a multitude of places. Yeah. So we're in, unlike other government departments, we're in competition for your business. So it can't be half-assed. People can go somewhere else for it. So we have a standard that's different than other government work as far as marketing and competition and, you know, quality of product produced and like all of these things. I've probably already said too much. It's super frustrating, because that, I say all of that to say, yes, you have to truly love what you do, because you can make more money going into the private side of this. And like, you have more leeway and you don't have all the red tape and you don't have all the bureaucracy. And like, you can actually just do fun things and put on camps and put on programs.
Right.
But in municipal recreation, you want things to last. You want to set a standard for, you're doing it so that kids who don't have as much money have access to recreation and park services that they wouldn't normally have. And that is where your passion has to lie, is that you think, regardless of your socioeconomic standing, everyone deserves recreation. Everyone deserves parks and recreation. and you have to take your own gain out of it, and that's what you're focused on. And try convincing people of that who don't care about Parks and Recreation.
I can't.
It's painful. So that's.
I shouldn't say I can't imagine. I can. I work with people like that.
So we went way over. I thought we were gonna be short tonight because it was just the three of us. We didn't have Erin.
She just gets long-winded the drunker she gets.
I know, but look at us. We're long-winded.
I know.
Oops.
That's it for us this week, guys. Everyone have a good weekend.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day.
Bye. Yeah.
Enjoy not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Everything's closed.
Yeah.
I know. There was an awful lot of traffic out in the road today for being pandemic is all I'm saying. Not accusing anyone of anything, but it was...
They're going to the open counties.
All right. Have a good weekend, guys. Bye.
Bye.